Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury.
Welcome, great to have you with us. Kevin Herr ill. Now, I know for some people that's not a revelation, but he's actually physically ill. We hope he gets better. I don't think he worked on the mark this morning, did he? I don't think so. With Lawrence. If he missed that, then he's certainly going to miss this too.
I think he's going to miss it tomorrow too.
Is this a prediction on your part? Was he hospitalized?
No, he's not in the hospital, Steve. Just a premonition. How's that?
A premonition. Yeah, I see. Obviously, it's been an interesting few days. Let's take them, in order, I guess. Let's start with, maybe not in order. I'll just start with basketball. Evidently, on Saturday, what Penn State has been wanting to do is that they're trying to make somehow the Jordan Center a more intimate setting. And the plan has been, okay, we'll make it a more intimate setting, and thus we will get everybody into the lower bowl area. Thus, it gets them closer to the court. They can be a greater influence on the game and things like that. All right, so that's where you're. That's the game plan behind the, or that's the premise behind what they're trying to do. All right, and so in this premise, you're trying to obviously sell out the lower bowl and use that as your arena. And the good news is that a lot of people bought tickets to be a part of Saturday's game. Saturdays are a little more difficult than weeknights in terms of predicting walk-up crowds. Well, on Saturday, it was a nice day. It's a 1 o'clock start. So if you want to travel in, take in the game, you can be home by dinner time. Thus, and I've had this experience in baseball with the Spikes as well, walk-up crowds on those nice evenings for them, or a Saturday afternoon. It's not much of a factor. A walk-up crowd is not much of a factor on a Wednesday during the middle of the week because of distance. But it can be a factor, and it can be unpredictable. And some people obviously went to the Jordan Center and thought, well, you know, the game's not going to be sold out. I'll be able to get tickets and go. And then they find out that the lower bowl is what they're using, and the game is technically sold out. Okay. So what they have done is anybody who's in that situation, they've offered them two complimentary tickets, and they're refunding their parking if they paid for parking, which is the class thing and the right thing to do. And hopefully if they get into the Jordan Center to see a basketball game and use those tickets, hopefully they are treated in such a way where they'll say, you know what, okay, you know, I'll come back, I'll keep coming back. And hopefully they're treated like the gold that they are. And that's what a ticket paying customer is to me. A ticket paying customer to me is gold, just like a listener on this show to me is considered gold. We don't exist in these jobs without all of you. You know, if we don't have an audience, if you know, basketball doesn't have a crowd, and the crowd on Saturday that was there was awesome, into every second, really great, loud crowd. So for anybody who's in that situation, they've already offered complimentary tickets and a refund on parking, which means, of course, next time means you're gonna, you know, you're not gonna have to pay to park. And hopefully, if you were in that situation, you take advantage of that. And you stop by up in the booth, say hi to us, whatever. I'll take some time, talk with each and every one of you, and whatever, you know, whatever it takes, you know, and if it means, you know, stopping by and saying hi, and it just, and you know, I'll offer that to anybody that wants to do that. You know, take some time, talk to you about whatever, you know, football, basketball, I don't care. But the most important thing is that you give it another shot to me and come back. And obviously people feel badly about that. But the good news was that a lot of people did show up on Saturday and wanted to be a part of the crowd. And, that's the good news. The bad news is, obviously, you want to be able to accommodate as many people as possible. And hopefully a better job can be done getting the word out if they're in that situation again. But give it another shot. And if anybody wants to talk to me about it, they can here at 800-795-9565. Somebody mentioned that at wrestling, only one concession stand was open. Don't know if that's true or not, but obviously they know ahead of time wrestling is, all the events in Rec Hall for wrestling are sold out, and hopefully if that was a situation, I'm sure they can, you know, that'll be quickly rectified the next time through. Then there's the situation, obviously, with the stickers on the hockey helmets for 409 and a subsequent tweet that was attributed to the athletic director, Sandy Barber. All right. First of all, let's go back to what I talked about on Friday. What I talked about on Friday, and I think I've kept a pretty even keel about this the entire time. What I talked about on Friday was that this was another important step along the way, and a series of important steps. The important steps along the way have been, okay, they'll be allowed to go to 75 scholarships and can give out 20 in a year. To then that eventually went to, you know, 75 to 80 to 85. That eventually changed to just all 85 and 25 back to normal on scholarships, with it, the bowl ban being lifted. All this happened with a span of 8 months. Actually, it happened in a span of about a year. Right, so that's what they thought they were operating under, going to 75, then to 80, to 85. And then 1 year later, going back to full 85, 25, and the bowl ban being lifted. That paid off with Penn State going to the Pinstripe Bowl at Yankee Stadium and winning the game dramatically. So that was step number two. Step number three turned out to be the settlement of the Corman-McCord lawsuit against the NCAA, which the original intent was to have the $60 million be spent here in Pennsylvania. Well, in the settlement between the two sides, Penn State, which has already put, I think, $36 million into an escrow account, will get that to $48 million, distribute that to appropriate charities within the Commonwealth, while also keeping $12 million for something they want to do on campus with it and the issue. And also part of that was the return of what had been vacated wins to Penn State. That was the next step in the process. There are still other steps that need to take place in this. And those steps include Tim Curley, Dr. Graham Spanier, and Gary Schultz in their respective trials, because they've been waiting over 3 years now. And also a resolution one way or the other of the paternal lawsuit filed against the NCAA. The attorneys that were involved in the depositions in the Corman-McCord lawsuit also included the Paterno attorneys, because to save time for everybody, same depositions. So just file that away for later. But those are steps in this entire process. Obviously, people felt good here about the return of 112 wins, 111 belonging to the head coaching tenure of Joe Paterno, and one to Tom Bradley. And thus the number 409 came back, because that's the total number of wins in his career. 409 is more than just wins in a career. It's not, I mean, Joe wanted to win like anybody, but records didn't mean a lot to him. As somebody who broadcast the final 146 games of his career and the final 92 wins of his career, all of which had been vacated until Friday, this is how I see the, quote, 409 part. To me, in those 92 wins, It's Zach Mills hurdling over Mike Doss and turning a 27-9 deficit into a 29-27 win in win number 324. It's Larry Johnson going on a 38-yard run to go over 2,000 yards in a season, which had never happened here before, and the excitement at Beaver Stadium over it. It's Michael Robinson having a magical 2005 season. Tom Bahali taking Troy Smith and flipping him on his head at the end of the game for a fumble that Scott Paxton recovered. It's Darrell Clark and the 2008 team winning another Big Ten championship. And not only that, winning it in Beaver Stadium in a snowstorm, because Beaver Stadium had never seen a championship of any kind won in there before. It is Colin Wagner, Sean Lee, and Navarro Bowman on a sloppy, chopped-up field in Orlando beating LSU. It's Matt McGloin and company rallying from a 21-0 deficit to beat Northwestern 35-21 and having Penn State win the 400th game in Joe's career. It's rallying down the stretch with Derek Moy against Illinois, and then the Dembke field goal as the students gathered in the end zone behind the goalposts, and it hits the upright. And then Joe Paterno after the game in an ad-lib moment, appropriate on this Martin Luther King anniversary day today, talking about the importance of Eddie Robinson and what he meant to the young African-American athlete, that when the doors were closed in the South, Eddie Robinson and Grambling were open, not just for football, but to educate. And each one of the names that I just chronicled along the way all have another thing in common, including a guy like John Urschel, who made his first... Could you take the music down, please? Take the music down, please. Okay. Okay. Each one of them, John Urschel, made his first career start, okay, as well at FedEx Field, who ended up winning the Campbell Award. And Paul Posluszny winning a Bednarik. And Dan Connor winning a Bednarik. And A.Q. Shipley winning the Remington. Each one of these names I've chronicled all through this time frame also all received their degrees. Every one of them received their degrees and have had, whether some success in the NFL or a lot of success off the field, that in reality is what it means, at least to me.
KOKNW to KOK.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Addy, how are you doing today? Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. They will take care of all of your insurance needs. They treat you like family. That's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Now, the last part about the about 409 is this, and it's the part I didn't quite get a chance to address that, and, of course, the athletic director, Sandy Barber. In fairness to her, she has been very outspoken at every event that I've been around and also privately about what a great culture she feels Penn State Athletics has. And she's been very outspoken and forceful about it. And also she did not hesitate to mention Joe's name when it came to the Pinstripe Bowl in New York and talked about it being in Joe Paterno's hometown. So I know there are people that will be upset at her, at what she did. Some are fine. There are going to be people on different sides. But at least in fairness, remember she has done that. In fairness. All right. But I've talked about what I think, to me, what 409 means and what it symbolizes. And I hope, just had a chance to at least talk about that a little bit. It's more than just a number. It's more than it's a feel good moment for a lot of people. They did that happened. Doug is in Wellsboro. Hello, Doug. It's always a lot of fun to talk to you. How have you been?
Hi, Doug.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Hey, how have you been, man? Great to hear from you.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Hey, I'm very frustrated. I don't know where to begin today. First it was the Penn State Board of Directors, and now it's the Athletic Director. When exactly does this stuff end?
Well, I think that's frustrating for a lot of people. It's that there's never a moment where you feel like you can feel great about something. I think that when you look at this entire situation, I've tried to call it a step, and that there have been various steps that have been taken. Step number one was the NCAA, of course, rolling back the scholarships to 75, 80, and 85, and then 20 and 25, to then amending that to giving it all to 85, all to 25, and allowing them to go to a bowl game. This was the next step in all of this, where the Corman-McCord lawsuit, and we had Senator Corman on the show Friday, where the NCAA invalidated the consent decree and decided that they would go along with having the $60 million spent here in the Commonwealth, $48 million of which goes to Commonwealth charities, $12 million to be kept at Penn State for other purposes. And then, of course, the return of the sanction of the wins, 111 on Joe Paterno's record and one on Tom Bradley's record. And as I pointed out in my earlier commentary, that number 409 goes much, much deeper than the surface that some members of the media would attach to it. I'm talking about national media people would attach to it. Local media, state media, who are around it on an everyday basis, get and understand that it's always been a student-athlete mission here, and that the student-athletes won those games on the field, but also won big off the field as well, and that's what it represents. As long as we keep that and understand that perspective, you know, I think that's another step forward in this series of steps, but there's still a couple more steps to come in this entire process.
Would you please educate her that 409 is just a number to the true fans that have been around this program for the last 40 years? I could actually care less about the 409. We know what Joe stood for. It's the same way as that stupid statue. Yeah, I want the statue back up exactly as that was before return, but that did not define Joe. So she's an outsider from Cal. You wonder why she was let go at Cal or not renewed technically, however they wanted to phrase it. But she's trying to be all things to all people, be politically correct. She responds to some nut job on Twitter and immediately throws the loyal Penn State community under the bus. The same thing as the Board of Trustees did.
Well, every day is a learning education for anybody on the job. There's no question about that, and I'm sure this is one where it's been an eye-opener. At the same time, you have to be true to yourself. And I'll wait to see how she responds to this. I do know that when I've been around her and listened to her, she has been very forceful, Doug, about how great she thinks the Penn State culture is. Very forceful.
That's so, because she's protecting her six-figure salary. She wants to play both sides of the aisle. She wants to say the right thing to us, right things to the other people. She's protecting her job. She's protecting that six-figure salary. She's trying to have it both ways, Steve.
Well, I've tried to be steady about this the entire time. And I think it's just important to stay on that course. And I understand you as a loyal paying customer of Penn State and a loyal fan of Penn State, that there are certain lines that you want to see people understand. How about that?
That's fair. I realize your position. There's only so much you can say, you know. I know you've always been truthful with me and with the rest of the fans out there, but as an employee of Penn State, there's only so far you can go or what you can say. I expect that as like Keith Olbermann and guys like that, nut jobs on the radio. But when it's your own people doing this to you, and a knee-jerk quick reaction, whenever another Penn State team wants to support the ideal of what Penn State really stands for, and they get shot down so quick, that's just ridiculous. And the second point is, one of our friends from the Big Ten, specifically Jim Delaney, going to be held accountable. They were sure quick enough to pile on whenever Emmert and everybody else came out. Oh, yeah, we're going to get them, you know, withhold bowl money and stuff like that. When do we hear anything out of them? Are they still hiding under a rock?
You know, Doug, that's something that's very interesting. I was very surprised that the Big Ten didn't make a statement one way or the other about what happened on Friday. Normally, I mean, even something brief. And I was really surprised that they didn't. As for the bowl money, you talk about, I know Sandy has fought very hard on that, as has Eric Barron at the presidential level, because there's still one more year to go on that. And Penn State did its part this year by getting a bowl bid because they, quote, kicked into the coffers this year financially. And so that's something that you and I are on the same page about. I don't quite understand. If money is committed already to charities, I do understand that. But there's been a big difference between the money that was involved when the sanctions first came out and the amount of money that's available now because of the college football playoff, and that was not in existence, thus there's more money available. So if X amount was allocated, I would think in fairness that Penn State at minimum should get the difference between the original allocation and the new allocation, because you would assume that the allocation before, if they were going to donate it to charity, okay, I can understand that. But now there's a difference between the two numbers, the original one and the new one, and I would like to see the difference as a compromise. Now, whether that's workable or not, I don't know. And that's the part. I'm surprised the Big Ten had no reaction to any of this at all.
Delaney likes to use Penn State whenever it'll fill the Pinstripe Bowl or sell out, you know, Yankee Stadium, draw a nice national audience. But he was sure quick to, you know, I know him and Joe talked and stuff like that, but Delaney is kind of playing both sides, just the way Barron is, just the way Sandy Barber is. They're all, you know, politicians or political slant to this whole thing. But I don't know, Steve, in a private moment, you've got to educate her on what the real story is. I don't know how far you can go, but this is ridiculous. So thanks for taking my call today, Steve.
Doug, just remember, this is a marathon and not a sprint. And so in the marathon, that was another important step, okay?
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Doug, as always. 800-795-9565. 800-795-9565 is our number if you'd like to jump in. Well, I'd love to hear from you today we roll through this. And by the way, yes, there is a Super Bowl coming up, and yes, it does involve the New England Patriots and the Seattle Seahawks. The two number one seeds ended up making it. As for the basketball game itself, I talked about the tickets earlier. As for the basketball game itself on Saturday, heartbreaker for Penn State, but you have to secure a rebound. You put your biggest players down low. You're 4-on-2 in that area. You need to secure a rebound. And even in secure, and if the other guy secures the rebound, guess what you do? You foul him again. And they didn't get the rebound. Now, Kendall Stevens, to his credit, give the other guy credit where credit is due, had the presence of mind, the poise, to run himself out to the corner, knowing that he needed 3 points. He understood time, score, situation, turn, and then make an off-balance three, and to his credit, made it work. He showed both his physical capability and also his mental capability all in one play. Very impressive. Unimpressive for Penn State, not grabbing a rebound. The strategy, you can go either way. If somebody were to call up the show right now and say, I disagree with the strategy, I wouldn't have fouled, I'd have played it out. You know what? I'd have no problem with you saying that, because I think this is 6 of 1, half dozen of the other as to how you play it out. The math tells you that you foul. And I used to feel in the old days that no, just play it out, let it play out. What changed my mind was the 2000-2001 season. Penn State got into a series of games where that happened. had a lead, lost it on a three-point shot, or, you know. And the final one for me was, it was the ECA Holiday Festival at Madison Square Garden, and Penn State was playing Hofstra, which, by the way, was coached then by Jay Wright. And Penn State had a three-point lead, and this kid took a three-point shot. Like, they brought the ball up the floor, got a three-point shot out of it, and it hit the flange and just missed sending the game into overtime. I said, that's it. I said, they're going to have to foul from now on, because that had been like a series of games I'd seen like that. And it turned out later in the year, Penn State played at the United Center in Chicago against Michigan State in the Big Ten quarterfinals. And Penn State had a Penn State had a three-point lead in the waning seconds. And Taylor was the point guard for Michigan State. And they get the ball into him, and they fouled him at midcourt, which is just about the scenario we saw the other day. Thorpe fouled him just a little bit beyond midcourt. The difference was that instead of having 9.4 seconds left, there was, I think, 1.7 seconds. Yeah, that's because of how late in the game Penn State had scored and so forth. And they took out John Crispin, and they brought in Endu Egekezi. And Taylor did what he needed to. He made the first free throw, unlike John Octia Saturday, who missed the first free throw. He missed that one, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I think they're in pretty good shape here. Well, Taylor hit the free throw, and the idea was he had to miss the second free throw, and Michigan State had a great offensive rebounding team back then. Not good, a great offensive rebounding team. I mean, look how many checks Randolph's cashed in the NBA. And Randolph was on that team, and he was underneath. And Taylor deliberately missed the second one, and Endu Egekezi got the rebound, and Penn State won the game and went to the Big Ten semifinals. And Michigan State was ranked second in the country at the time. That's when I became a major proponent of fouling with a three-point lead. Now, if you were to call the show right now and say, I wouldn't have fouled, I'd have no problem with you saying that, because there's no absolute on that strategy at all. But before it happened, both Dick Girardi and I said in agreement that they needed to foul. Now, when you do that, what's the next part? It goes back to the old John McKay line. How do you feel about your team's execution? I'm in favor of it. This Flava Flav was at the game on Saturday. It turned out he is Shep Garner's cousin.
I saw him there.
Right. And he told me he saw you.
Yeah. He was taking a selfie with Coach Franklin.
Actually, P.J. Mullen took that picture. All right. So it wasn't a selfie. It was that P.J. took that picture. Okay. I did not talk to him at the game. I saw he was there. I have actually run into Flava Flav before.
Really?
On a plane. I was flying. I had just done a game in the Midwest, and I was flying from Chicago back. And I'm on a plane, and I'm in the seat right in front of Flava Flav when he was with the group Public Enemy. And they're wearing the whole group was wearing their Public Enemy jackets. You know those little baseball bats you buy at ball games?
Uh-huh.
Those little souvenir bats?
Uh-huh.
He's got the bat in his hand, and he's sitting in back of me. And he gets up and he starts making a point to the others about something and pointing the bat, whatever, and he whacks me on top of the head. Right?
I'm sorry.
I'm like, and I was trying to sleep. Oh no, laugh all you want.
I am.
And I wake up like, what the heck was that? Well, then all of a sudden, boom, hits me again. Now these are all accidents, mind you. Hits me again. Right? The fourth time, boom, and I grab the bat and I stand up, and I'm a lot taller than he is.
Yeah. He's not setting any height records here.
Right? And I stand up and I look down at him, and of course they're wearing their group jackets, and I said, you hit me in the head one more time and I'll be the biggest enemy you have. And he goes, what? I said, you hit me in the head four times with this stupid bat. He goes,
oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to say, here, take the bat back. Everything's cool. And then, that's my run-in with Flavor Flav. Welcome back to the Jordan Center. Did they check in at the gate for your bat?
he was wearing the big bling on Saturday though too, which was, you know, I don't know if he had a bat, but he probably could have hurt you with the necklace that he was wearing.
Oh, he had the clock on the whole thing. Yeah. 800-795-9565. But yeah, you know. I thought maybe he was going to the game, so he's going to come up and finally apologize.
I take it that was a no.
No. I doubt he'd remember the incident. I do, as if it was yesterday.
That's just, there's something inherently wrong about that, just in general, you know? I mean, you should be a better passenger on an airplane than that. You know what I'm saying?
Me or him?
Him. I mean, you were just minding your business sleeping, right?
And also, it's like, whack. I'm like, what the heck was that? I got hit over the head. You know? Now he's got all, you know, at one point he must have had a lot of money. I should have sued.
Yeah, maybe you should have. I don't know.
Raked in some dough.
I'm not a huge Public Enemy fan, but I think they did have a couple of, you know, a couple of hits that probably made him a few bucks, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But that's why when I saw him, I looked over at Dick. I told Dick the story. Dick's still laughing about it.
I'm still laughing about it, too. Matter of fact, I think I got tears in my eyes, Steve. I'm telling you.
Well, he was sitting literally in the seat behind me. And I guess he stood up and he was talking to the rest of the, you know, his buddies in the group or whatever. And they had some families with him. Whack. Like, ah.
Oh, boy.
It was an early morning flight, so I wanted to sleep. Well, you could forget that.
I would imagine after four shots to the head from one of those mini baseball bats, you were probably pretty wide awake. You know it.
Oh, I was wide awake, all right. I mean, I don't understand why he felt he had to wake me up. He has a clock around his neck. Well, he could have used that.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably not the last time I'll see him since he's Shep's cousin. That's a long time ago. Hey, we can have fun. We're here, brought to you by our good friends Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.
CBS News, I'm Gary Nod. President Obama visiting the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Washington today, participating in a community service project as part of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day, helping some of the students with their artistic and Crayola skills and painting murals.